All right, Pat, first question, because we haven't wrapped with you yet this week, so we have a million things to catch up on. Do you think Byron Buxton enjoyed his vacation to the Pacific Northwest this week?
Do we know where he is? Is he in Texas, in the heat of Texas? Is he back in St. Paul? Do we have any idea his whereabouts? In the Zoom era, it's very difficult. You pretty much have to wait for somebody to tell you at the ballpark if somebody's around or not. So I don't have any idea where he is, but man alive. It was a week ago Tuesday, so what's that, 10 days now, I saw him run out the triple. And when I was out there, and then 2 days later, he hit the two home runs and drove in five runs. And I think when they put him on the plane to the West, you know, then he played once more and we put him on the plane to the West Coast. And we thought, yeah, okay, he's going to play. I also, my column that I wrote after I saw him in St. Paul was starting Friday. There's 100 games left. And these are the most important 100 games of his career because it will determine whether they really want to sign him or not. And he's going to have to play 80, 85 of those. He might play 10. So I think the decision has been made. And I don't think he's that determined to play for this team. But they keep saying, boy, he's fighting to get on the field. But he makes sure he slows down those last 40 feet when he's sprinting to make them think that there's something wrong with him. So I have no idea what's going on, but it's a joke.
So you think that this is probably him more than them as far as not playing?
No, I don't have any idea. I think they're nuts. I told you, John, a couple of years ago, he had that quote, I'm not playing unless I'm 100%, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was, I don't know, I think that's when he was still mad about them, you know, not, you know, calling him up that September, which, by the way, has prevented him from being a free agent at the end of this year. So there was some strategy involved in that long term. But I don't know if this is, if them not wanting him to be able to say, if he gets hurt again, well, they put me on the field when I wasn't 100%. So I don't know what it is, but there's some tension here, don't you think? It does not seem like it's just a routine bad hip. There's something going on. And, you know, this is – you're not going to – maybe he doesn't want to put them in a situation where they can trade him. You know, maybe he doesn't want to get traded someplace in July. He wants to – play it out here and maybe get traded in the winter or, you know, go somewhere and get a new contract. But he's not doing himself any good on the free agent market, that's for sure. So.
And, Pat, here's the thing in general with this season. All right? The Twins don't deserve any kid gloves. The Twins don't deserve any benefit of the doubt. And this is like, listen, I've been as high on this front office as anyone the last few years, but there's been so many weird head-scratching decisions and things. Even just the vibe of this team feels off. It's the most dead-ass team I've seen, including some of those early 2010s teams. So, you know, I'm just skeptical at every turn for everything we've seen the last 3 or 4 months.
Okay, if you're in that clubhouse, right, and you're Nelson Cruz, and you're 40, 41, and you're fighting back from whatever, and, you know, he had a two-week slump, and now he's killing the ball again, and you're some of these, you know, other guys that are really dead. I mean, you see Sano going out there every day and getting his at-bats and hitting 170, and you look around, you got to say, is there any standard here for performance? Is anybody being held to a standard? Shoemaker, Miller, great piece today about getting hit to the head. Nobody's being held to a standard. If I'm a guy who plays to a standard, like Taylor Rogers or somebody like that, I look around and I want to throw up. Don't you? I mean, come on. There's no standard here. There's got to be a standard for performance, for God's sakes. And
yes, 100%.
And there is none. And
you can't make that trip to Seattle and have Matt Shoemaker still on your roster. You can't. And he might be the nicest guy ever, and he's healthy for the first time in like 6 years, and that's all great. But like you said, if you set that low of a bar for what you'll accept on a major league roster, then what must all of his coworkers think? It's ridiculous.
And then, the other night, Ober pitches. He's the one bright light of the last week, right? Ober. And he pitches four innings. He throws 62 pitches. and these geniuses get together in the dugout, him and West, and they see some lefties coming up, and they huck him and don't let him get a win. I know wins don't matter, blah, blah, blah. Wins matter to a kid who's never had one. Yep. When you never had one, you want one. It was idiotic. What are you trying to protect here? If he gets to 80 pitches, is that going to make a lot of difference in his long-term health than throwing 62? It's idiotic. And, okay, we got lefties coming up. Who cares? If you lose again, you're now four games behind the Tigers instead of three.
Right.
Let the kid pitch the fifth inning. It was idiotic. It's a slap in the face to him. It's a slap in the face to your team. And the 12 people who still give a damn about the Twins, it's a slap in the face to them, too.
I don't think, Patrick, I've ever felt this different about a manager or coach from from year to year since Lauren Henning went in the toilet with the North Stars.
Yes,
and Louis
right
had to blow them out after they had a good year. Seriously,
yes.
I mean, I thought guys were morons from day one, but with Rocco, I have done damn near a 180 completely on my thoughts on him and his ability to handle any type of what appears to be a crisis.
Yeah, and I think we all have also the same opinion as how much of this is him and how much of this is upstairs. You know, we don't want, somebody, he's under instructions from somebody not to put Buxton on the field until he's 100%, right? Which, by the way, is not sustainable. Not 100% for a guy who's been playing pro ball for 10 years with multiple injuries. There is no such thing as 100%. As I tweeted the other day, the only thing there is at that point is I'm good enough to play. That's all there is. That's the only standard at which they should be operating. And if there's something really wrong with this hip, let's get him to the greatest hip machine in the world. Let's take him to the greatest MRI, the Hubble. Take him to the Hubble telescope and look at this bleeping hip and see if there's something wrong with the bleeping thing. Let's do an inspection that's incredible that the Mayo Clinic couldn't even dream of. We need this hip inspected, maybe hung up upside down for 2 days and then to see if anything's not feeling good and then take some photos of it. We got to take better pictures of this hip if he's still not 100% after I saw him run out the triple, because if that wasn't 100%, I will kiss my own fat ass.
How do you feel about this, Pat?
Well, I got bad news for you. There's a line to get into that MRI machine. It's behind Josh Donaldson for the 17th time.
Pushing him
right
aside.
Calf.
We're pushing Josh aside.
Yeah, but he played 53. I can't get on him yet. I got to see if he plays or not. He played 53 out of 55 games, for God's sakes. This is not Buxton. This is, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he's going to. He won't play for 2 weeks. Who knows? But it looked to me like I think he calls his own shots. I don't think it's the Twins.
Pat, I was telling Judd and Declan this the other day. This is the most, annoyed and infuriated I've been with the Twins team that
yes.
I can remember. I can't even necessarily finger point why all the time, but it's just everything they do. The Bailey Ober thing. That's such a small, meaningless thing in the grand scheme of a baseball season. But I'm watching that and thinking, okay, 63 pitches. Like, were all 63 pitches with the bases loaded, like throwing high effort stuff? No, he allowed one base runner in four innings.
And it was a strike him out, throw him out. He faced the minimum. If you can't pitch the fifth inning after you face the minimum, the first four, there's insanity loose in this organization. It's unbelievable. They're not sane, and the short little pitching coach better get his ass together, act together, whatever. Last year, fourth in the major leagues in ERA. This year, 28th. 28th. How the hell did you go to 28th, Wes? What happened? As you can tell, I'm
how do you feel about all this, Pat?
This is therapeutic. I'm going to throw one more at you here, too, because okay. The Twins are 13 games below 500. They went into the season. All right, just got to scrounge up a couple bucks in free agency and add some supplemental pieces to this pitching staff, and boom, we'll be ready to go. Jay Happ, 6.12 earned run average. Matt Shoemaker, 7.57 earned run average. Alex Colome, 5.63 earned run average, and all of the blown saves so far this season. So when you whiff that bat, and by the way, yes. Hansel Robles has a decent ERA, but he also puts 9 guys on base every time he pitches. When you've whiffed that badly on every free agent pitcher you brought in, oh my God.
If this was a team in contention, right, and they're fighting the Tigers now, they're 3 points behind them, and it's going to be, I don't think we can catch them, but the Twins, but anyway. But if Hansel Robles was your closer in important situations, you would spend the entire summer screaming at your TV like you did when Ron Davis was the closer. Because this guy can't resist either A, giving up a leadoff double when he does throw a strike, or walking a guy. That's the only two options he gives you. But the rest of it is so bad that he's your closer. You know, he's I guess he is, because they got to use Rogers earlier to try to get through some situation. I had somebody tweet me the other day, Taylor Rogers is terrible. I wanted to track him down, haul him out of his house, and stomp on his head. Taylor Rogers is so far from being a problem with this collection that it's not even close. He's like, you'll get more for him than anybody on the team when you start trading at the end of July, because they'll know they have to give a ton of money up for Berríos. But how bad's this team going to be when they have the fire sale? Wow.
I just hope they do it right.
By the way, yesterday, the Fighting Saints over there, they only, I think they only got beat 12-2.
They turned to triple play, Pat.
I'll be there tonight, Pat. I'll be there tonight.
The press release, they turned to triple play.
I believe they've given up in double figures 3 of the last 5 games, something. Because the night the Twins gave up 14, they gave up 15.
There were independent.
That was one of our next on Valley Sports North. Twins give up fewer runs than Saints.
There were versions of the independent league Saints that had better pitching staffs than this current Saints team, which is a AAA affiliate of the Twins.
They're pretty much identical. I mean, mm-hmm. they're the same name. You could take 7 of those names, and they could be pitching for George Samus last year, and you wouldn't know the difference. You wouldn't know the difference.
Hey, Royce.
By the way, Duran, I see the other day, he's the next phenom. He only walked 5 and 2 1/3.
He's got some control problems. Hey, the good news. I spent 2 days this week in Eagan. We look so good, we canceled the third day of the mini camp. That's how good we are.
Another triumph for Zim's girlfriend.
Oh, I mean, good for Zim.
Undefeated. Anyway, I think they're going to be really good. I don't want to be like, I kind of wrote this spoof about how there's no way the Wild could lose Game 7 to Vegas. I thought they were pretty good. But what, you got all these really, top draft choices on that offensive line now.
Yep.
It should be competitive. You've loaded up in the middle of the line so they can stop a run next year. You got Hunter back. There's no reason the defense shouldn't be top 10 again. And who's got more weapons? I mean,
no, they're good.
Jefferson, Thielen, Cook. Mm-hmm. God Almighty.
Defense is better. The pressure is on, Patrick.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing that happened to the Vikings is that Spielman and Zimmer know that if they went out and went 9-7 again, they were both gone. You know, they're 10, and if they don't win a playoff game, and they were more aggressive figuring out how to bring players in here than they have been, you know, in a long time. And you know, to bring back Sheldon Richardson is amazing. And some of the other things they've done, unless they get, you know, the always the uncertainty of football is always you can get hurt. And
or COVID.
You know, I just feel sorry for Cousins if they lose the opener and then he goes 0-2 to start the first home game or something, and they start yelling for what's his name, Kellen Mond.
Kellen Mond.
Yeah, we'll start yelling for him. But I don't think Cousins is a problem. I don't think he's the solution, but I don't think he's a problem. And I think they're going to be really good. I think they're going to win 12 and win the division by 4 or 5 games.
Wow.
Because Green Bay's not going to be 500 without Rodgers. That's my football insight. I'm all in on the Vikings, all out on the Twins. Boo!
We're gonna win, Twins.
He was there at the opener in 61.
I was, and I never felt more like throwing up. And even those rotten teams that they had, you knew they were rotten, you know, in the late 1990s, and then again earlier in the previous decade, you knew they were rotten. It was explainable because the Twins made all the moves required to be rotten. These guys have brought this on themselves with, as Phil just pointed out, an ungodly, urine poor offseason. Ungodly bad offseason.
Yep. Love it.
Outside of that, hey, everybody have a good weekend.
This was great for everyone involved, and we'll talk to you next week, Pat.
All right. See ya.
Sky, you're my rope. Row the boat.
Oh my gosh.
Is that like
that's
honest
an all-timer.
Question? Is like, are we gonna? I feel like
there's
the
highlights.
Audio was like jumping out of the. I mean, it is what it is. But like the recording equipment couldn't even hold his rant.
No.
Is what I'm saying.
I feel like there's about
I can only do so
about
much.
Five rants that could be captured there too. There's like 4 or 5 rants that were absolutely epic.
Oh my god! Well, part-time producer AJ, you're going to be on double duty getting us some social media clips this weekend from that. Amazing.
Bailey,
right, well, that's wrapping with Royce.